This is Divorce Happy Hour, a show about divorce and issues people face going through divorce. Your co-hosts are Christina Previtt and John Knocklinger. For more information about the show and to connect with us, head over to divorcehappyhour.com. And now, on to today's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. You are joining us once again for Divorce Happy Half Hour. See what I did there? I'm so pleased with that name. I'm your co-host, Christina Previtt.
I'm John Knocklinger, her lovely partner in crime.
That's right, partners in crime. So we're on a roll now, John. Is this episode 3?
Yeah, 3.
We're doing it, guys. We are committed to being here for you every Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, just for a half an hour, because we know you are all busy and you have busy lives. And just to give you some little tidbits here and there about divorce law, everyone's favorite topic, right? I'm going to take my glasses off. Do I look brainy with my glasses on?
Smart with or without them. It doesn't matter.
Thank you, John. You're such a good partner. So today we are going to try to tackle the issue of alimony in a half an hour. That's a tall order.
Very tall order.
So it's really just intended to give you an overview because, as you know, at NetSquire, we cater to couples that are trying to resolve their differences amicably and resolve all the issues that they have in a divorce proceeding amicably. If you can't do it on your own, we can help you with mediation. But regardless, the conversation needs to include some consideration of alimony. So even if it's just to identify whether you're an alimony case. So there are a few components of alimony, such as is a type of alimony. There are a few types and a length of time for the alimony, how much the alimony will be. And then I also like to discuss what circumstances would terminate the alimony. So those are the few things that we're going to touch on today, just to give you a little bit of guidance. You want to get started, John?
Sure. It's interesting because when people are coming to us, they're either trying to work it out with their spouse or going into mediation. And what's difficult when we talk about alimony is that there is no formula, official formula. Let me back up. There's no official formula when it comes to alimony. So this is one of those things that if you go and you talk to 10 different attorneys, they're going to give you 10 different opinions about whether there should be alimony, how long should it be paid, what the amount should be. So we're facing a lot of you that are coming and wanting to get your divorce done without fighting. You want to get it done for a flat fee in a very tight time frame. One of the questions everyone asks is, should there be alimony? The problem that we continue to have is that, you know, in a mediation context, we actually aren't, you know, we're not giving legal advice. So we can't actually tell people whether there should be alimony or not. Fortunately, most of you come to us kind of having an idea that there should be alimony. So I want to give that kind of framework for everyone to understand that alimony is one of those very gray areas of our law. And, you know, just because someone makes more money than the other does not mean that there's going to be alimony necessarily. Just because you get married doesn't entitle you to alimony. So that's sort of the framework. So Christina was talking about the types of alimony. So the two types of alimony that all of you are probably going to be looking at are what we call open durational, which is what we used to call permanent, but we don't use permanent anymore. Open durational and a limited duration. So alimony lasts for a certain number of years. So those are the two types of alimony that 99% of you are going to be discussing. There are other types, but we're not going to talk about them today because practically nobody pays them. Right, Christine? I mean, like no one
pays. Yeah, they're rare.
Yeah. So open durational, what that means is what the words actually say, which is there's no end date. There's no official end date to alimony. Limited duration means you're going to pay from day one until day whatever that you and your spouse decide. And at that point, it terminates and it's done and you can't get any more. So those are the two types of alimony. And just for all of you listening, there's a really good shorthand. If you were married 20 years or less, the amount of alimony being paid is going to be a term. It's going to be a certain number of years.
Now, wait a minute. I thought if it was 20 years, you're eligible. So if you have to be married under 20 years.
Yeah, if you're under 20 years. Did I say over
20? You said 20 or under.
Yeah, so under 20 years. So under 20 years, it's a duration, meaning it's only a number of years. If it's over 20 years, it's going to be open durational. But
what if it's 20 years on the dot, John? You left that out. Just
I think you're right. I think it says 20 years or more, it's open durational. So
yes, to qualify for open durational alimony, you have to have been married for 20 years. And the way that counts is the date of the marriage to the date that somebody files a complaint for divorce. So I actually had somebody recently who was very close to the 20 years. This couple is like literally a few months before the 20 years. And we don't encourage people to file complaints right away, but this was one instance where they really needed to file a complaint. And the way that I've seen this rule applied, it's pretty strict. You know, if you are about to hit 20 years and it's, you know, 1 month away, you don't get to say, but Your Honor, it's almost 20 years. It almost counts. You know, what I'm seeing is people are just ignoring that argument. It's like, no, almost doesn't count. It's not 20 years. It's less than 20 years. We're not talking about it. Is that what you've seen?
Yeah, I've seen that. But I will tell you, a lot of times, it's really a distinction that doesn't matter in reality, because what ends up happening, just so everyone listening understands, is that under open durational, there's an opportunity to retire when you reach basically 67. I mean, the age changes a little bit depending on your circumstances, but you can basically retire when you're 67. And if you retire and stop earning an income, most of the time your alimony will probably be terminated. In fact, that's something that most people negotiate as part of their agreement, is that people can retire at a certain age and alimony will be terminated. So under that scenario you just talked about, Christina, where people were married 19 years and, you know, 9 months, under the law, your spouse could get 19 years and 9 months of alimony. So depending on your age, it may end up not really mattering whether you called it open duration or limited duration. If you and your spouse can agree that there's going to be an end date when someone retires. So I guess when we start doing this, you know, playing nice, trying to find something that's fair to both parties, I don't want people to concentrate so much on these terms. They have legal meaning. And if you're close to 20 years, like Christina just said, you probably need to talk to an attorney and find out whether you should just protect yourself by filing. But if that's not you, the distinction really doesn't matter, because what you're going to be negotiating with your spouse is how long you can be paying and how much is it going to cost you. And those are the two major things that most of our clients really have to deal with. So, I mean, I just would say, listen, if you were married for 10 years, I'm just going to throw out a number, 10 years, that does not mean there needs to be 10 years of alimony. Okay. All that we are talking about here is what the law says. The law says less than 20 years, you don't have to pay longer than you were married. More than 20 years or more, there's no end date. That's what the law says. But guess what, guys? You don't have to follow the law. You don't have to do what the law says. You can actually come up with some arrangement that works for you. And that's really, really the message I always want people to know when we're talking about alimony, is don't worry about what the law says necessarily. Come up with something that makes sense for you. And I think that's really important. But Christina, we have formulas out there that are floating about, these formulas. And now, because now that alimony is no longer tax deductible, it used to be tax deductible, it's not anymore. Now there's about 10 different formulas I've heard of. So
I've only heard the 1/4 rule.
I've heard everything from 22% to 28%, depending on how long they were married. Do they have kids? I've been hearing all kinds of things from attorneys, because I do a lot of mediation where attorneys are involved. I've been hearing all these lovely things. But I guess I'm glad to hear you say that, Christina, because this is part of what we're talking about today, is that alimony is something that there is no right or wrong answer. It's really going to depend on what the two of you think is fair. I'll give you an example. I was just mediating a case yesterday with attorneys, and people were throwing out alimony numbers. And when I would ask, well, what's it based on? I would get like sort of non-specific answers, just sort of like, oh, well, it's based on, you know, all these things. This is just what I feel like I can pay. And so what ended up happening was they just slowly meandered to some middle ground. And it just goes to show, when I saw the final number, I could not have gotten there through any formula or any other method or any actual, like, looking at the facts. I couldn't have gotten to this number. But the two of them, through the process of talking it out and negotiating, came to a number that I guarantee you neither of the attorneys agreed with. Neither of the attorneys would have ever proposed, but it was a number that ultimately they agreed to. And so when we start talking about alimony, I want everyone just to understand that it's whatever the two of you think is fair. And if you don't know it's fair, then you can start with a formula. You can start with our 1/4 rule if you want. But that
Let's even back up a little bit, though, and explain what the 1/4 rule is, because people might be like, what are you talking about? But you know, when you're evaluating your case, and you know, we as lawyers have a tendency to kind of get into the weeds, and we try really hard not to do that with our NetSquire clients and in this podcast, because it's sort of like going to the doctor and then they start using all kinds of medical terminology and you don't know what the hell they're talking about. So we try not to do that. But if you're in a situation where you're trying to figure out, I don't know, is there alimony? Am I going to have to pay alimony? Should I be receiving alimony? I would say where you should really start is to look at, first and foremost, is there a large disparity in your incomes? Because if there is, I think that's more likely that there an alimony amount is probably appropriate. Because the purpose of alimony mostly is so that one of the parties does not, if that person has been dependent on the other one from a financial perspective, that they don't leave the marriage and, you know, they're broke living under a bridge. Like, that's just not supposed to happen. So really what you should do first is you should really know what your budget is. There is a wonderful document called a case information statement that divorcing couples, if they're in litigation, are required to fill out separately. And in that document, there is a budget, and it's pretty comprehensive. And I recommend that anybody who has to have an alimony evaluation, actually, even if you don't, I just think everybody for their own planning should just Google case information statement, New Jersey. They're all over the internet, and fill out the budget section just so that you know for yourself, how much money do I need to live? Now, how much do I need for rent or mortgage, taxes, insurance, utilities, your Schedule B, our auto expenses, my car payment, gas, insurance. And make sure you include little things like, how much do I spend on tires every year? How much do I spend on maintenance? How much do I spend on Easy Pass or Sirius XM? There's a lot of little things that you do spend money on that you kind of don't think about. Like, we forget about it, right? Like, when we're kind of evaluating how much we need. And that's probably what would jam you up, is just forgetting that you have all those other little expenses. Because nobody should leave the marriage being broke. And I realize that sometimes there just isn't enough money to go around, but sometimes there is enough money to go around. And when you're trying to figure out, okay, if I make more money, let's say I make more money than my husband, because that does happen sometimes, right? This is 2023. So it's sometimes the husbands are the breadwinners, but not always. So the person that is making more, is that person making so much more that if you left the marriage, you know, the other one would really be left having no way to really continue to support themselves the way that they've always lived. And we call that the marital lifestyle. So you're both entitled to live the marital lifestyle. So to start, I would say download one of those case information statements, do your budget, make sure you're not forgetting anything in your budget. And for the ladies, well, actually the guys now too, right, John? Don't forget your Botox, your wax treatments. It's because it's little things that people forget that you spend money on. If you go to the nail salon, you know, whatever thing, anything you're spending money on a regular basis, make sure you have calculated that so that you know how much money you need to live. And both parties should do that. And if one doesn't have enough from their income, then, and the other one has, you know, significantly more income, then to me, that is an alimony case. That the one with that has more money should probably be paying the other one that doesn't have as much. How much? Okay, so then that becomes another part of the analysis.
Yeah.
One fourth rule that we were talking about was there's kind of a rule of thumb that some attorneys use that alimony should be one fourth of the difference in your gross incomes. So we'll pick easy numbers. If one person's making $25,000, the other one's making $50,000, there's a discrepancy of $25,000. You just divide that by four, and that's what alimony should be. And you might find that when you apply the one-fourth rule that it's still not really adequate, and that may happen sometimes in situations where there just isn't enough money to go around. Which does typically mean that both people will have to reduce their lifestyle to some degree. We all know that's the reality of divorce. It's just simply harder to maintain two households on the same income than it was to maintain one household. You know, we can't really fix that. That's just a matter of circumstances. But in my opinion, those are really the first two things that people should do. Did you want to add anything to that, John?
No, I actually think those are great things to do. But I love when you were discussing this, you said a substantial disparity in income, because there's another subjective term. You know, one person might think $10,000 is a significant disparity, and someone else might not think it until there's $50,000 difference. It's kind of one of those things that it depends on what the incomes are. Like if one person's making 80 and one person's making 50, that's a pretty big disparity given the amount of money each person's making. But if one person's making 250 and one's making 200, it's not as big of a difference from a percentage perspective between the two of them. So sometimes it really, this is why we can't have a rule of thumb, because it really depends on your circumstances. Do you have children? I mean, that's another thing that really comes into play. Because, you know, if someone has custody of children, they need a house that can accommodate the kids. And child support only does a little bit of that. So there's a whole lot of things that have to go on. But, I mean, I think what Christina just said is wonderful. You do your budget, figure out how much you actually need. You know, I have this conversation with people in mediation at the very beginning all the time. And I tell them, you're going to tell me what you want. But we're never going to get this done today if you keep telling me what you want. I need to know what you need. What do you actually need in order to move forward in life? You know, you might want, you know, I'll use Botox as an example. You may want to go and get, you know, four Botox treatments a year, but maybe you only need to get three. Maybe you can figure out a way to, you know, economize a little bit of your, what you were doing to accommodate the economic realities of what you're going to be encountering post-divorce. So it is about starting with what you actually want and then figuring out, is there any way you can kind of cut some things down without reducing your lifestyle? Just, you know, just cutting a couple of things out to get down to what you actually need and then figuring what the gap is between that and, you know, your income. And really just coming up with a common sense way of looking at it. Because I will tell everybody here, there is the reason that formula kind of works in a lot of situations is it ends up where the person receiving alimony does not make more than the person paying. Because I will tell you that it doesn't matter how you do this, it is extremely unusual for the person receiving alimony to end up with more income than the person paying. And also for all of you listening out there, alimony does not equalize your incomes. That is not the point of alimony. I mean, there's no law out there that says each of you are supposed to leave with the same income. So any of you that think that, you can just sort of No, forget that out of your head.
Well, I had a very, I'm going to put experienced in air quotes, attorney the other day suggest that the alimonies, the incomes should be equalized. Mm. Of course, he represents the other, the party that doesn't make as much. But both parties do very well. So it wasn't a situation where there wasn't enough money to go around. So it's a little bit of a different analysis. But yeah, if you hear anybody say that we should equalize our incomes, that's not the law. But again, we don't, at NetSquare, we don't like to just say, well, this is the law and therefore this is what you should do. We do not just strictly apply the law, because I just think it's kind of asinine to do that. Every family is unique. Every family has different needs. The spouses have their own needs, their own wants, their own personalities, the things that are important to them. You know, maybe alimony just isn't important to somebody, or some aspect of it is just not that important. Maybe it's more important that someone be able to stay in the house, or maybe the opposite is true. Maybe they really want to move to a different town. So it's really important to them to be able to unload the house, and so they can move to some other town. There's a million possibilities. And so that's what we like to do at NetSquire, is really focus on the couple. What do they need for themselves, for their family, for their children, if they have children, and how can we help them achieve that? Obviously, we use the law as a guide for that, because you should know what you're entitled to, what the law would say that you're entitled to, but you don't have to be, excuse the pun, married to that. You like that? I have a lot of corny jokes.
No, I could not agree with all that more, because people don't look at everything as an entire package enough. You know, when I do mediation, I really want people to focus in on what everything looks like. You know, we don't just talk about alimony in isolation. You know, what are we doing with the house? What are we doing with the retirement accounts? What about the debt? I mean, I just did a mediation the other day where someone took all of the debt in exchange for paying less alimony. And it just sort of, again, it's what's going on in your own life. Like, what makes sense in your life? You know, a lot of you will come and tell me like, oh, my spouse makes $100,000 more than me, but you were only married for 2 years. Like, you know, there's certain realities where you have to be realistic about how much your life has changed since you got married, because that's what alimony is supposed to do. Is you get married, your life has substantially changed, and now you need a bridge. I call it a bridge. I don't know what other people call it. A bridge to your post-divorce life. You know, we don't want to just shove someone off the, you know, off the cliff. You need a bridge to your post-divorce life, whatever that looks like. And, you know, the solutions are too numerous for us to talk about on this podcast. But, you know, if you're coming to divorce, and you and your spouse, you know, you're really dependent on your spouse because of the way you guys have lived your lives, it really doesn't matter what the incomes are. It's probably an alimony case. And if you're really dependent, you really just need to figure out what's fair. And you know what, if you're coming to us because you want to get divorced without fighting, you want to try to get it resolved as amicably as possible, then one of the things you've got to do from the very beginning is be interested in being fair to your spouse. Because if you're not going to be fair, there's no way you're going to be able to get divorced quickly. If you don't want to be fair, if you want to be cutthroat, if you want to get every single penny and dime that you think you're entitled to, that's what we call litigation. That's where you're going to spend tens of thousands of dollars getting some attorney to make every argument under the sun for why every single dollar of alimony you want, you should get. And you're not going to be happy with that. So I hope people at least realize that if you're going to come to us, you're going to try to get this done quickly, Christina, that you need to be fair with your spouse. And being fair is recognizing that you shouldn't be better off than them, and that both of you should be able to move on to your post-divorce lives in equal pain, let's put it that way, or at least both of you not more well off than the other person.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, we're even this language, this litigation language, we talk about love languages. We should talk about litigation languages, because the litigation language is always one that is focused on being adversarial. Know that the parties are against each other. I always said a divorce felt like, you know, you were at a party where there was a piñata and the pinata fell and everybody was just diving for all the candy, like a smash and grab. You know, your divorce shouldn't look like a smash and grab. And what we do at NetSquire is we take the litigation out of it. We take the fighting out of it. So if you are somebody that wants the fighting, you're diving for the pinata, then you're not a good fit for us. You can find lawyers that do active litigation and they'll be very happy to take your money. You know, all of it, if they need to, if it gets to that. But the people that we really service at NetSquire are the ones that, you know, have the good sense to realize that they don't want to give the attorneys all of their money, that this is a family problem. It's not a legal problem. It's just a family problem. And they just need some help figuring things out. And that's what we do. So you can have that conversation on your own if you're able to do that and you prefer to do that. And then just come to us and we do all of the paperwork for you for one flat fee. Or if you do need some help with the conversation to, as John says, figure out what's fair, because I do think a lot of people, they want to do what's fair, but they don't really know what that looks like. So we can help you with that conversation. And, you know, really be creative problem solvers. I've always said that I think lawyers, the good ones, are really just problem solvers. They're just there to help you have a dialogue, offer suggestions. Like John said a couple of things already that we see a lot. You know, maybe someone doesn't want to pay alimony and the dependent spouse, I'm just going to generalize, you know, so don't anybody be offended. Like say it's the wife. The wife is the one that's making a lot less money. Maybe it's her goal to just stay in the home. Maybe that's really just what she wants. You know, I need and want to stay in the home. I want the children to stay in this home. It's the only home I've ever known. I want them to go to school here. Just using this as an example, and this one does come up a lot, there might be a way to figure out how to do that. And, you know, maybe compromise on alimony, but keep more of the equity in the house. Or one that I see a lot that I will tell you as a litigator, I fought tooth and nail not to do this, but we have couples coming to us, and that's why our couples that want to do this, where they will just agree that the husband will stay on the mortgage for a period of time so that a refinance doesn't have to happen right away. And, you know, as a litigator, I was always very resistant to that. But my feeling now is, you know what, who am I to tell this family how they should live and how they should separate their family? Because whether you like it or not, you're still really a family, even when you're getting divorced, if you have children. Because you're still the parents. You're always going to be the parents. You're always going to have this connection with each other. And you're always going to have to talk and be in each other's lives if you have children together. Even if they're grown, right? Well, John, your daughter's 9. But, you know, ask anybody who's got grown kids. They never go away.
No. And I tell you, especially where we are in New Jersey, I mean, kids get off college, they're in all this debt. They're getting jobs where they're not really making as much as they really need to pay off their loans and get a place to live and stuff. So kids are still living with their parents longer and longer and longer. But, you know, and that's what's hard, because you've got somebody who maybe wants to let them stay in the house, but you're really not getting any support for that kid anymore. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on, but that's where you and your spouse really just need to be fair with each other. You know, do you want to kick your kid out on the street, or do you want to figure out a solution where you can sort of, you know, allow them some room? People get too focused on them and they forget about their whole life. They forget about their kids. They forget about everything.
Yeah. So like I said, it doesn't need to be a smash and grab. You want to smash and grab. You can find plenty of lawyers who do that, that do active litigation.
You like to hit the pinata.
Yes, the pinata. And if you want that kind of divorce, you can find that. That's easy to find. But you should know that you will spend a lot of money on that. That's tens of thousands of dollars. And it takes a very long time, at least a year, you know, longer now, really, because you thought the courts were slow before. Well, since COVID, they're even slower. But I think maybe we're preaching to the choir here, but we just wanted to come on here. We're going to keep these to 30 minutes because we know you are all busy people. And we wanted to give you a little bit of background on alimony so that you sort of know what it is, what you should be thinking about. If you are interested, we do offer a settlement checklist for people that are interested in having a settlement conversation with their spouse, but they're not quite sure what should we be talking about. We offer you a settlement checklist. Just DM us and give us your email address, and we will send that to you. And that way you can get an idea of what you should be talking about. And again, as always, if you need help, we're here for you. And we offer mediation, or if you're done settled and you've got that done, congratulations, good for you. And we can draft all your paperwork and file it for you for one flat fee. So check us out at gethappydivorce.com. And we'll see you next week. Maybe we'll talk about child support next week. What do you think, John?
Sounds like a great conversation.
Whatever you want to hear about, guys, let us know. Send us a DM or just put it in the comments, and we will try to make that a topic in a future show. So see you next Friday, 12:30 p.m. right here, Divorce Happy Half Hour. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you for listening. For more information, check out divorcehappyhour.com. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.